Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, you have promised in your word that your word will never go forth without it accomplishing the purpose for which you sent it. We know you keep your promises, but this morning we ask you would keep it in regards to myself and each person in here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I lived in California for a while, and one time when I lived there, I was fortunate enough to be able to go and decorate floats for the Tournament of Roses parade that happens at, you know, every year on New Year's Day. And I don't know if you've watched that parade, but it's worth watching and realizing that the outer coating of every one of those floats is made up of flowers or seeds or stems or some part of a plant. In fact, that's the rules of that parade. They require that, and I quote, every inch of the float must be covered with flowers or other natural material such as leaves, seeds, or bark. And so beginning just a few days before that parade, there are thousands of volunteers who head to these massive buildings where the floats are kept in shelter, and they start putting on flowers. Some of them they glue, that's what I did. Some of them they put in little tiny tubes of liquid to keep them fresh that are all pasted all over this float. And this is all to the delight of the millions of people who lightheartedly will line the streets of Pasadena, California on New Year's Day or tune in on their TV to watch those floats. And of course, the floats are not all there are. There are horses and marching bands in that parade on New Year's morning. That's always New Year's morning, by the way, with the exception of when New Year's falls on a Sunday. And then the parade is switched to Monday morning after New Year's. But there's an old saying, and I'm sure you've heard it, everybody loves a parade. I guess maybe I could be the exception to that, right? That proves the rule, because I did not go to the parade that year because I didn't like the traffic in Los Angeles and I didn't want to try and deal with the traffic. So I stayed and just watched it on TV. But anyway, in our lesson for this morning, there's a parade and it takes place on Sunday, unlike the Tournament of Roses parade. And it's the Sunday of Holy Week before the Passover that would come on that Friday. There's a parade. Let's listen in, shall we, on Matthew's description of this parade. And he describes it in Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 6. And here's what he says. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. That is, they went into town and they found a donkey and the colt of a donkey. And they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him, that is Jesus, on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Well, I don't know if it occurred to you, as we were reading that description of the parade on Palm Sunday, but that parade is different from modern parades mostly. I mean, there's no floats in that parade, of course. But it also differs in several ways from other parades that were ancient parades, the parades that occurred in those days. It differed from those kinds of parades too in several ways. And how so? Well, first and foremostly, it differs in the makeup of the parade. There's just one main attraction in that parade, and that was Jesus. We call this parade the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. And it's named after a triumph. A triumph was a Roman parade, a parade given to celebrate a special victory of a military commander. Listen to this description that I retrieved from the web about a Roman triumph, okay? And here's what it says. It says, the consuls and politicians would lead, followed by a number of impressing looking captives from the battlefield. There were musicians, torchbearers, and flag wavers to add to the pageantry, as well as examples of the exotic flowers and animals from the conquered region. The star of the show, the godlike victor, would ride a spectacular tall-sided chariot pulled by four horses. He wore a laurel crown and carried a laurel branch in his right hand. In his left hand, he carried an ivory scepter with an eagle at the top, symbolic of triumph. He was accompanied by a slave whose job it was to hold above his head a gold crown and continually whisper in his ear that amongst all this adoration, he should remember he's only a mortal and not actually a god. After the chariot came, then came the commander's children and officers on horseback, and finally came the troops. Now, this parade of Jesus clearly has some similarities with a Roman triumph. There are adoring crowds, after all, as he enters the gates of Jerusalem. Another similarity is that in the Roman triumph, the hero had to go get permission from the Senate before he could have that victory parade. And it was done because the commander wanted to show the people what kind of a leader he was. Now, this similarity is not that Jesus had to get permission from the Senate in order to do that. There wasn't even a Senate in Jerusalem. But the similarity here is that Jesus, too, wanted to show what kind of a leader he was. And so he, unlike the pompous leaders who ride in a chariot pulled along by four horses, Jesus sits on a colt of a donkey. And I'd like to make an application here, a word of application, if I may. Jesus is true God. As majestic can be. But he is riding to show these people and to show you that he has humbled himself. And because of his humility, you do not need to fear to come into his presence and to approach him. When you have a request, you have direct access into this king's presence because he is a humble king. When you have sinned, you can humbly confess your sin to him, and he will treat you like the father did the prodigal son. He will forgive, and he will be happy that you have confessed to him. The picture we see in this passage of Jesus is not just a picture. It is who Jesus is, really. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind you of this, that this is the first parade this week in Jerusalem. There was a second. This one's going into town. The second was coming out of town, coming out of the gates. And the atmosphere of the second was much different, wasn't it, from the first one? You know the one I'm talking about. The second one was a few days later, after Palm Sunday, and Jesus was the star attraction of that one as well, along with two thieves. When he was paraded out to Mount Calvary to die on the cross. Now, that situation for the second was vastly different from the first, but the humility of Jesus was the same. He is bearing his own cross, and he is doing it for the very people who are surrounding him. He is doing it for you. As God's Passover lamb, and I find this to be the height of irony, as God's Passover lamb is stumbling out of town, bearing his load. He is no doubt passing by people who are taking their Passover lamb to the temple to be slaughtered there for their Passover meal. How ironic is that? That the people taking their own lambs to be slaughtered for the Passover watched the real Lamb of God pass by. At least some of them no doubt did. He is carrying their sin, and he is carrying your sin. And there on the cross, he paid for all of it. For you, he did it for me. And so you should be lighthearted today, because the greatest need in your life has already been met. It was met by Jesus there upon the cross. The fact that he rose again is proof of it. So believe it, won't you? And those blessings are yours. May God grant it for you and for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you bow your head with me once again? Almighty and everlasting God, you have caused your own beloved Son to take our nature upon himself, that he might give us the example of humility and suffer the death upon the cross for our sins. Mercifully grant us a believing knowledge of this, that we may follow the example of his patience and be made partakers of the benefits of his sacred passion and death. Through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.